Welcome to PR After Hours, your twice weekly cocktail of business, PR, and marketing tips hosted by me, Alex Greenwood. Every week, we bring you virtual happy hours featuring business advice from entrepreneurs and leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. We're going to get started in just a moment, so stick with us. Okay, who has a podcast then writes an ebook about podcasting and doesn't do an audiobook version of it? Well, not me. I've done that. In fact, I'm very excited to tell you, dear listeners, that the podcast option, my recent top-selling ebook on podcasting, my journey through 15 years as a podcaster, broadcaster, host, guest, and observer, is now an Audible audiobook. It's really, really, really exciting for me to be able to present this to you through Audible, which is available on Amazon.com, where the ebook link is as well. And in this fast listen, my experience comes to you through stories, practical tips, and advice from my hundreds of hours as a guest, producer, podcast host, and more. And the podcast option, if I say so myself, is mandatory listening for those new to podcasting, and it should be a welcome addition to veteran podcasters' library. So check out the podcast option read by yours truly, Alex Greenwood, or as they say there, J. Alexander Greenwood, because that's my pen name, and that's a long story, which if you dig through my podcast, eventually you'll find out what that means. But the point being today, the podcast option is available now as an Audible audiobook. I've got a link in the show notes to make it easy for you. Please do me a favor, go get that audiobook, or if audiobooks aren't your bag, there's also a link for you to get it as an ebook. Again, the podcast option. I certainly hope you will choose it. Regular listeners to my prattlings here in the virtual lounge will know that I'm kind of a fan of the press release. So this is a fortuitous because I've been wanting to speak with an expert on the proper use of press releases and ways to be more effective with your press releases, which is why I'm really glad to welcome Mickey Kennedy to the virtual lounge today. He's an expert at helping small businesses, authors, and startups increase their visibility and credibility. He founded eReleases 22 plus years ago after realizing that small businesses desperately need a press release service they can actually afford, amen to that, brother, giving them access to the media and to a national newswire, all with a personal touch. He's joining us, I believe, from his home in Baltimore County, Maryland. Welcome to the virtual lounge, Mickey.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Hey, so 22 years, man, with this, I guess maybe it's going to catch on.
Perhaps.
Well, tell us a little bit about it. Is there a certain aha moment, an epiphany, or is it just kind of a pattern you started to see where small businesses were kind of locked out of press release distribution?
Right. So around 25 years ago, I was working for a telecom startup out of grad school. And one of the things I had to do, was to fax press releases. And I was employee number three. I did sales and marketing and PR. And we were publishing telecom traffic and statistics, and we were getting picked up regularly. But all of a sudden, we started getting phone calls from people saying, hey, you faxed me over this press release. Could you email it to me? I can work with the data, the numbers and stuff much better in a Word document or something like that. So I just felt like email is so much superior to faxing if you've ever programmed a fax machine with 200 numbers or anything like that. So
it's a nightmare.
I mentioned it to my boss and he said, that's a great idea. You should start that business. So I spent about a year contacting journalists, asking them if I could email them press releases, all different types of industries. And when I launched, I had about 10,000 journalists who said that they would receive press releases from me. And I just started sending out press releases via email. And after a while, PR Newswire approached me and said, hey, you should also send your releases through us. And I'm like, my clients pay $200 to $400. There's no way they can afford to spend $1,000 for a release to go out nationally. So we kicked the can down the road a little bit. I met them. One of the things that we decided to do was I schedule all of our press releases by default for next business day. They have an editorial team overnight that doesn't work a lot, but they have to be there. So this was a way in which there'd be no additional labor for them to work on our releases and set them up for the next business morning overnight and sort of create a win-win. And so now all of our customers get a custom national distribution of Rapier Newswire. It's like 99.9% the same thing as a US one distribution, but it's slightly different so that it's not the same product. And you know, my customers, you know, have so much more reach as a result of that. That being said, the bulk of my customers don't get any media pickup at all. And that's something I've been working over the last year or so to put together strategic press release ideas for someone that anyone could implement and have a much stronger likelihood of getting media pickup. And so far, I haven't had a lot of takers. I put together a free course for my customers. It's less than an hour. And I think I've only been able to like strong arm 400 or 500 people to take the video. But they're great ideas. Like the one that I've worked for a few years with, clients is a survey or study within your industry. If you put together a survey or study, send it out, get the results, you have a strong likelihood of getting media success. My little tweaks to that is if you don't know how to get people to fill out your survey, let's say you don't have a customer base or an audience base that's large enough, you can just align yourself with a small trade association. I find the smaller ones and the independent ones work a lot better than the large ones. They don't get a lot of love in the industry, so they're very willing to send a link out to their members if it means that they might be mentioned in a press release. So that's a really great way to sell it to them. Another thing in regards to that is always throw in one or two crazy oddball questions. We did a local auto repair shop in Pennsylvania wanting to get auto industry links. We did a survey for them. And one of the questions that they had was, what's the strangest thing a customer left in their car while being repaired? And when they sent it out through an independent trade association to other auto repair shops, and about 800 people responded. And that was the section that all the journalists just loved and all the articles were written about, because there was like stories like a boa constrictor, a customer called and said, we left grandma in the car. And they're like, I'm looking out there. There's nobody in the car. And they're like, well, no, she's in the back in an urn and her memorial's tonight. So we have to go get her. And just really fun stories like that, that really just did a phenomenal job. I think they got over 10 auto industry publications and at least a dozen newspapers, including the local newspaper where they were located. And so it was a really big success. And that's something that anybody can do. I mean, that auto repair shop in Pennsylvania is not an authority on much of anything, except perhaps an oil change. But you know, by them authoring that survey and study and getting it out there, they were able to get a lot of pickup and a lot of mileage out of that.
That's really good, Mickey. So, hey, let's step back. We have a ton of listeners who are PR people who already know this, but we also have a lot of small business owners. And maybe if you don't mind, could we get your kind of your thoughts on, okay, what is a press release and why should I do it? You just explained some great tactics to make your press release stand out. But sometimes when I'm working with a small biz client, they're like, why do I need this?
Right. So basically a press release is just an announcement to the media. If you type in press release sample or press release template, you'll pretty much see how they work. They're usually written in a third person. If there's something that you're going to say in the first person, you want to put it in a quote. And that being said, make sure it's an amazing quote. Don't make it something that so easily can be paraphrased and you just lose your presence in a potential article because what you had was just fluff. And, you know, it's always important, I think, to have a really good contact. And after hours contact is really good for people under deadline because so many times stories get written at the last minute or they get reviewed by a managing editor at the last minute, and there's a question that may prevent this article from going to press if they don't reach someone and get an answer.
It's so true. And that's a great point about getting a sample. Just go look. And I would say to people, Google sample press release and then kind of aggregate three or four just to get a feel for, because not everybody does them exactly the same way. But the things that are necessary, just like Mickey said, you've got to have contact information, an after hours contact. I always put for my clients my cell phone number, and just everybody don't freak out. If you're sending it to the media, they're not going to print the contact information in the release unless they're completely foolish. And most of the time that never happens. So don't worry about that, but have a contact email and a contact phone number if possible, particularly because, as Mickey just said, they may want to reach out for some questions. And it's that inverted pyramid style too. You know, the first sentence is called the lead. It used to be spelled L-E-D-E, and now they just spell it L-E-A-D most of the time. But the lead is the sentence that's got to grab people. And if you don't grab people, reporters, in that first sentence, it's really tough to keep their attention to read the rest. So don't bury the lead, as they say, and put the most important thing. If the most important thing is boa constrictor left in car, don't put that in the sixth paragraph, you know? So I think that's important. But do you have any issues trying to convince small business people? I guess it's a little different because you're offering the service and they kind of have an idea they need it, or their PR firm needs it. But any tips on just explaining to people, small businesses, what is a good release and what is not a good release? Like, why do some succeed and why do some fail?
I would say 95% of the releases that we get that involve a personnel change are not good releases. Yeah. They're not going to do very well outside of maybe a trade publication, your local newspaper. And for those, just reach out to those sources directly. Right. It's not rocket science to figure out who in your local area writes about you. And the same thing with a key trade publication or two. Don't waste the money of using a service that's going out there for something that mundane. But you know, there's always the exception. I mean, if you had someone that's just a phenomenal rock star in your industry and you were able to get them on board, yeah, that's newsworthy and you want to send that out. But for a lot of people, you know, we don't care that Kathy's now the director of HR or something like that.
Yeah, the expert in Kern furling or whatever they're talking about. That's great, but nobody cares. And I say that to people and they kind of like, I've hurt feelings saying that. Like, I just say, nobody cares. And they're like, oh, no, but we care. I'm like, I know. And then you'll send it to a trade or put it in your company newsletter. But if I go, you only get so many at-bats with reporters anyway. Don't waste their time with mundane. I love that word, mundane stuff. Another thing I tell people too, Mickey, is that your updated website is probably not news.
Or mobile responsiveness is one I see from time to time. Really, you might have spent $50,000 or $60,000 making your website mobile responsive, but again, no one's going to care from a news standpoint.
Yeah, Mickey, I would love to hear though the trending now, because I got to tell you something. If I have a failing when it comes to that, I overwrite things a bit. I'm an old newspaper guy. I started newspaper. I've been PR for almost 25 years now, but I tend to overwrite even my press releases, and I have a hard time getting them down to 500 words or so. Is there a word count that you think is a sweet spot?
I say under 600 words is probably sufficient for, you know, most releases out there. There's always the exception. If you're releasing something that's just very fact heavy and you just prefer to include it, that, you know, that might make sense for the audience. But I do believe that being concise is important. Journalists are busy. And if you're excessively wordy or wordy for, you know, reasons of just, you know, stroking your own ego or something like that, or making someone happy, like a CEO or a board, you're not really going to get the best mileage out of something like that.
But you see, you know the game well, though. You know that sometimes the CEO wants that extra quote or two in there, and you got to make it happen, right? Which is interesting what you said about paraphrasing, because I've often seen people write, and XYZ Corporation believes that the next quarter will be their greatest ever. And then the next quote is, we think that our next quarter will be our best ever, said CEO Mark Smith. You know, you just got it.
Right. I mean, one of the things that I see a lot, because I work with really small businesses, is they'll inspire an article based on what they released. And then the article gets published 4 days, 5 days after the release went out, and they're not mentioned at all. And a couple of those, I've gone back to the journalist, and the journalist is like, don't blame me. What happened was I had them in there. They had the quote was in there. And my boss said, why do you have this quote in here from a company I've never heard of? It's not even a good quote. And he just scratches through it. If that had been a great quote, he would have said, I have never heard of this company, but dang, that's a great quote. I can see why it's in here. And so that is frustrating to see when you inspire an article and then you get excluded from it.
It's even worse than when a press release, when I actively pitch something, I get on the phone and I have this great idea. And I've literally had this happen. They're like, oh, that's a great idea. And I'm like, great. You want to set up an interview with my people? Oh, we'll let you know. And then it comes out and it's clear. They just took the idea and ran with it. That's even worse though, from my standpoint as a PR guy, the pitch and taking the time to really, you know, basically beg, you know. And anyway, I'm looking at e-releases here. I'm looking at your website. And I want to, if you don't mind, Mickey, I want to go kind of point by point on some of the reasons why it's a great site. Of course, you've got the affordability, which blows me away. And it's interesting you say this because I am right now considering whether or not to re-up my annual list. And I gotta be honest with you. I've yet to have a service in the past 11 or 12 years that I've been doing this on my own that has impressed me much as far as being worth the money. And I know that sounds obnoxious because, of course, you know, it's a big thing they're doing. They've got them updated and all that. But I kind of like the idea of what you're doing here because it's affordable. It scratches a lot of itches for most of my clients because of their smaller clients like we're talking about. But you've got custom U.S. national PR Newswire press release service, which is great. It's a major media outlet. So it gets out there. You've got your database of subscribing journalists. So they want to receive it. They're not sitting there dreading it or sending you right to spam, I assume. But here's the thing, too, that I think people don't think about, and this is something I have to explain to my clients a lot, and I was wondering if you could elaborate about it. SEO. Even if your story doesn't get picked up by a ton of, you know, tier one, tier two outlets, there's so many of these aggregating sites that can really boost your SEO. Isn't that correct?
It is. You know, generally, you get SEO results in, you know, links to your website. It's a strength of authority. And yeah, if it's the major newspaper that covers you, New York Times or Wall Street Journal, that's great. Unfortunately, we find most of the time they don't have direct links in the website, but there is proof that Google gives you an implied link in those instances, right, as if there was a link coming from that article, because contextually, Google can tell that refers to you, that you're the company that is being written about here. And, you know, the smaller papers, you know, they're still authorities. And if you can get links from them and, you know, trade publications, blogs, I'm seeing people go viral in Instagram after a press release, where a fashion person is very influential in the Instagram space and is linking to them and calling them out for what they're releasing. So I think that, you know, what media is changing a little bit, but I think all of them send signals. And, you know, those signals definitely influence your SEO and improve how you appear. And that being said, you know, the actual press release itself on the wire and the syndicated websites that it gets syndicated to, you want those to be very readable as well for SEO standpoint, so that a journalist or someone who's doing a search might come across you more easily.
Now, Mickey, let's say we're talking to the small business audience listening, and they've done some sample stuff. They've written press releases before. Let's say they want to use your service. They get in there, they select the which they want to do. Do you spot check it? Spot check it at all? To give any tips, or is it pretty much
right? So I don't have any salespeople. So when you talk to our office, either over the phone or through chat or email, you're dealing with someone who's looked at a lot of releases, and we're available. If you want us to take a look at the release and provide feedback, we're willing to do that. Usually allow a 1-day turnaround for that. And the same thing, if we see something that's just egregious, we generally call it out. That being said, you know, most of the releases we get are pretty mediocre, and, you know, they're not that great. So we don't make a point of pointing that out to them, because I used to do that and they thought I was just upselling for my writing service or something like that. And I'm like, no, I just thought maybe you could really tighten the opening. I feel like, you know, in the middle of the second paragraph is where I feel the lead should be. And maybe you want to do that. And they're just like, they're just not responsive in the same way. But they're like, but this one's already been approved by my manager, my manager's manager. And I really don't want to go back and tell them to revise it. So I just stay. If you ask for advice, we give it. We don't generally volunteer a lot just for those reasons.
Well, let me, if you don't mind, if it's okay, I'd love to just ask you about each of your packages real quick as we start to wind up here. Buzz Builder, I don't have to say the pricing, but I will tell you that you can go look. But the price, if Mickey wants to tell you pricing, he can. I don't want to, but I think you should go look at it. And I'll tell you, folks, it is very affordable, and I'm liking what I'm seeing here. And there's plenty of proof that, you know, 22 years plus being in business, that this stuff is effective, at least on that level. And the pricing to me looks very good. But the Buzz Builder, so that's kind of your starting point, right?
Correct. Yeah, and it's the three are very similar in that they're all national distribution. You get to target accordingly. With the Buzz Builder, it's limited at 400 words and one industry target. The Newsmaker, which is our middle product, is the most popular. That's 500 words and two industry targets. And then the PR Pro is 600 words and three industry targets. And what's different with that one is we also do that email send directly to journalists. We had traditionally offered it with all the packages, but over the years, just with pricing and the newswire fees that seem to go up every single year, even though we have a great rate with the newswire, has made it that we just had to put that standalone at the PR Pro level.
I like that. And the thing that a lot of PR pros probably already know, but I'll just say one thing you can do, and this is what I've been looking for here, as a private consultant, PR consultant, I can just include this service in what I offer to my clients and kind of white label it and just say, I will get this through our system we use, and just put that price in, maybe even, you know, upsell it a little bit for our time to ingest it into your system. And that seems to work well on a lot of things that we do for the little guys. Do you find that, you think that happens a little bit with PR people using your service?
It does. We actually have a discount for PR firms if you look on the footer on the page.
Scroll down.
A lot of PR firms utilize that. It actually includes up to 800 words and three targets. I can't remember the exact pricing, but I think it's comparable in pricing to like the Newsmaker, or it might even be slightly less than that. But it is, a way in which a lot of small PR firms are able to better serve small businesses, because they really don't have the budgets to tack on $1,000 wire distribution. And a lot of PR firms said that we were always picking and choosing which of the releases that we wanted to send out over the wire. And sometimes we get it wrong. And sometimes there are ones that we feel like, you know, it could be a curveball, but, you know, man, if it came through for our client, that would be great. And then, you know, using a service like ours makes it a lot more affordable to try more of those test distributions.
So folks, I think you should check out eReleases, and I'll put a link in the show notes. But was that eReleases.com? Is that right, Mickey?
That's correct. Ereleases.com. And that free masterclass I put together for customers, it's welcome for anyone that wants to look at some strategic ideas to build a PR campaign. And that's at ereleases.com/plan, PLAN. And it's completely free for now. And it's less than an hour. And I feel like anybody, even if you feel you or their clients are not newsworthy, if you take some of these lessons and approaches, you can certainly build a newsworthy PR campaign for your client. Just takes a little bit more work and a little bit more thought, but it does work. And I find it working again and again for a lot of my clients.
Folks, just check your show notes at prafterhours.com or wherever you get your pod. There should be some live links, but I should say this, just one moment of personal privilege here, Mickey, is that sometimes some of the aggregators of the show, they don't do the links quite right. So if you ever find a link and it's not working on your phone where you're listening to the podcast, just go to prafterhours.com and you will find live links there. Oh, man. I'll tell you what, Mickey, this is some great stuff here. Mickey Kennedy, founder and president of eReleases. Any final words to entice folks to check it out?
Well, the only thing I could say is that the great thing about PR is the ability of leverage. That's the one thing I always tell other marketers who ask me about why it's so great, because you can't measure it so well. And I always say, give them an example. Last year, we did one press release for the Dining Bond Initiative during the pandemic. It was meant to address closed restaurants. And it was with us, a PR firm as well, that worked with us to get that out. One press release got over 150 articles, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, created millions of dollars in revenue for a lot of local restaurants nationwide, and I dare any great marketer to take $400 and spend it on Google Ads or Facebook Ads and walk away with millions of dollars. It just isn't possible, but that is possible with PR, and you know that ability of leverage is just amazing.
Yeah, remember that, folks. Third party, the credibility of being selected. That's why they call it earned media with PR. Mickey Kennedy, e-releases, I'm impressed. And yes, I am a new customer. I will be after this because I've been looking for an affordable alternative that has some real opportunities, like you just said, for success. So thanks for joining us here in the virtual lounge, sir.
My pleasure.
Oh, you know what that means? Looks like it's last call here at your virtual lounge for PR news, views, and interviews. We'll keep it short and sweet. Just remind you, if you like the show, there's many ways you can help us keep it going, not the least among which is to rate this podcast. Simply go to the show notes at prafterhours.com or wherever you're getting this podcast and click on the link. RateThisPodcast.com/after, and it will take you to Apple Podcasts and a couple other places very easily. One click, you write your review, it's done. Can't tell you enough how important it is to get ratings on those sites so that we can build our audience and keep bringing you the kind of information you need every week for your business. Also, don't forget, if you want to sponsor the show, give us a tip in the virtual tip jar or ask a question, there are links in the show notes. Well, I think it's time that I cleaned up and closed up for this edition of PR After Hours here on Anchor FM.